You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news.
Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat.
Yo, what up, guys? Welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Beat. It's your boy, DJ Jesse Janity, here in studio with Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, producer, Drewski Scott.
What's good?
Welcome to the building.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we got my co-host here, Sean Allen.
What's up? What's up?
Miss Queen.
Ow.
Hey, she brought the glasses in today,
you know what I mean? Hey, y'all, excuse my appearance. I'm just coming from a job, you know. Job is never done, but...
She worked at Walmart.
Wait a minute. We didn't even do our dance break.
Hey! Hey!
Oh, he done turned our music off.
Hey!
What? What? Come on, Queen.
Friday.
That was your dance, Sean? You did the one shoulder back with the left curl?
We're going to, Sean, break out into a dance.
Remember I did on my Snapchat?
Get your Snapchat somewhere else. All right, y'all, we got some topics to talk about. Twitter has been blowing up, and Miss Aretha Franklin is not happy right now. And I wouldn't be happy either with the Aaliyah biopic out, with Whitney rolling in her grave for what Lifetime's about to do to her. I mean, I feel you, girl. So Aretha is upset because there is an unauthorized bio, a book being about to be put out about her. And it has some tea in it about Miss Aretha Franklin.
What? What kind of tea do you have on Aretha other than the fact that she don't wear a bra?
Ever.
Can those suckers be down here and they be rolling inside the dress.
Don't they be rolling in the deep.
Now that's the real queen.
No, I love her. Anyway, what
I love Miss Aretha Franklin, but I'm not going to front. The first time I ever saw Aretha Franklin live in concert, in person, it took two people to carry her down the stairs, and I swear to God, because her breast was literally the size of me. One of her breasts was me curled up.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm short and small, but I'm just saying.
16 Grammys. Y'all ain't going to disrespect the queen like that.
That's I love her. Wait, so her stylist seemed to buy her fucking strapless bra. See, that's what I get for talking about Aretha. I'm
going to
shut up. But her stylists need to be shot because they put her in them gowns. Anyway,
y'all might be a little perturbed about what you're going to hear about Miss Aretha Franklin.
What's happening? What's she
do? This book is going around and basically saying that, you know, Aretha was a very jealous person. One person she was very jealous over was Whitney Houston.
Okay, not surprised.
A lot of people are saying, well, the book basically quotes to say that she was afraid of Whitney because she was afraid that she was going to be outsung by someone from the next generation. Which, I believe that, but I think that they're making it into something a little bigger because I feel like every artist goes through that.
And Whitney's not here to...
But I thought they were like cousins or something. Or like,
that don't mean nothing. Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston cousins.
But that, I don't believe that's true because they got two different voices. Like, two totally different vibes, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not just, like...
See, I go back to my favorite show ever, VH1 Divas 1999.
Oh, I remember that scene off. It was like...
Aretha Franklin, the tea that came out about that was this bitch didn't want a poster on the wall next to somebody else's.
She needed... Leon and Aretha Franklin going back and forth.
At the end, when they were like, Jesus! Yeah. And Aretha was like, Jesus! And Celine don't care, because Celine just, in the moment, she's just like, let's sing.
But
Aretha
she's
was
battling.
Looking like...
Yeah, she was. I remember that. And I was like, and Celine did not know what was going on.
Nope.
She's having a good time.
Holding Aretha on
the shoulder. Because she's excited that she's singing with Aretha freaking Franklin. In her mind, she's like, oh, I'm singing with a legend. This is an honor. Aretha's like, bitch. Jesus. Like, get off the stage now. I told you let me in with this good Jesus now. So what they say? So she tripping.
All right. So basically she's tripping. And then also... She got mad when Anita Baker's album in 1986 came out. Rapture outsold her album that year.
Okay.
But the biggest tea of all comes from actually Etta James, who added to this book. She said, no, we need to talk and dish on Aretha's time in the 1950s gospel circuit, dubbed a sex circus by the late Ray Charles.
Wow.
Who wants to admit, of course she doesn't want the book out, who wants to admit that you're praising the Lord at 8 p.m. service and servicing some drop-dead gorgeous hunk of a singer an hour later?
Wow, you're calling her a whore!
Etta James. She said, Etta honey, at last the truth gonna come out.
Aretha Franklin.
Now, I think this bio is out already. It came out a while ago, right?
Yeah.
How long ago did it come out?
It came out like almost 10 years ago.
No. Okay, no, this is new. Okay. This is either came out this month or it's about to come out.
All right, okay.
She's trying to stop this from coming out.
Okay.
She don't want nobody to know her dirt.
Sex circus.
She be flicking that old woman coochie. She probably still get it licked. Shut up, queen. Let's move on.
From one awkward conversation to another.
Oh my God, these kids, the Jillian alien kids.
And Will. Okay.
I love them. They're aliens.
They're aliens, though, for real. So here's my thing, and they actually really, low-key irritated me with this interview. So they had interview with T Magazine where they're talking about, now I get, you know, these kids are rich kids. They can do whatever they want. They can put music out if they want to, and they got hate when they put the music out. So, okay, I understand the backlash, and you want to come out and go against that. Cool. But within the conversation, it's like they're bigging themselves up so much and downing everybody else. Like, we're so great. We're the best. Like, we can't even think on your minuscule level of what you're even trying to explain to us. We feel bad for the children of this nation. Like, I'm just sitting here looking like, am I talking to Vendetta? Like, what is it kind of alien species is
it? But it was like they weren't even answering the questions. Like, he asked them, like,
I'm going to read it right here. I'm curious about your experience of time. Why are you curious about that? Do you feel like life is moving really quickly? Is your music one way to sort of turn it over and reflect on it? Willow said, I mean, time for me, I can make it go slow or fast, however I please. And that's how I know it doesn't exist.
What in the hell?
They're crazy.
They've been here before.
but they're like Scientologists. Like,
so Will Smith is really, he really jumped into Scientology?
Yeah. Oh, all his movies are about our post-apocalyptic, whatever.
Post-apocalyptic. Yeah.
There is one quote in it that I actually, you know, big up to Willow for this one. They said, so how have you gotten better with music? Willow said, caring less about what everyone else thinks, but also caring less and less about what your own mind thinks. Because what your own mind thinks sometimes is the thing that makes you sad. I like that. Okay, now I get how you can take that and turn it into what you're turning into, but our brains, I feel, have been turned into a sponge, and we're soaking in certain things that we look in the mirror, and we are putting other people's thoughts and ideas and opinions that have been soaked into our own brain, and that's how we look at ourselves sometimes.
Perception. Perception is everything. Right. I understand, but what is happening? Why isn't the parents jumping in and helping these kids?
Honey,
they're going to grow up and be weird as hell. And Jada Smith already want to cut his penis off at the age of 18.
What?
Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, yes, he wants to slice and dice his penis off. Well, he's not a man or a woman. You got to look it up. He wants to cut off his dick at 18. He doesn't want his peen. I guess he's having urges or something. He doesn't want his peen. My thoughts to that is you're going to regret it when you you're going to regret it when you get in your 20s, because you're damn sure going to wish you had something to dip in, but you got rid of the dipper. So that's it. Willow Smith, I love her, but what is happening to these kids?
All right, well, so then the final quote was about education and school.
Okay, let's hear this.
And this is what irritated me.
Oh, my God.
Jaden said, here's the deal. School is not authentic because it ends. It's not true. It's not real. Our learning will never end. The school that we go to every single morning, we will continue to go to. Willow said, forever till the day we're in our bed. They, like, talk, finishing each other's sentences. I'm just going to read this as one person, okay? kids who go to normal school are so teenagery and so angsty. They never want to do anything. They're so tired. You never learn anything in school. Think about how many car accidents happen every day. What? Driver's Ed? What's up? I still haven't been to Driver's Ed because if everybody I know has been in an accident, I can't see how Driver's Ed is really going to help me out. I went to school.
What are they talking about?
No, ready for this one? I went to school for 1 year. It was the best experience, but the worst experience. The best experience because I was like, oh, now I know why kids are so depressed. But it was the worst experience because I was depressed. I mean, y'all just sound like some rich kids who have no idea about life. And I feel like reality needs to smack these kids in the face because it's like...
Sorry.
No, go.
I'm in a zone. I'm sorry. I'm listening to what I'm really lost. I'm confused. I feel so bad for these kids. They're lost, Jesse.
But they kind of they could be lost because they're rich. You know what I'm saying? But when
they
I was
can afford
that,
to be lost.
Yeah. When I was reading that, I was like, I was getting dizzy. I'm like, what are they talking about?
What are you saying? They're talking in circles, and they're gonna be like Lisa Bonet. They're gonna be weirder. They're gonna be weird as adults. We'll see them walking around looking nuts with dreadlocks and with all kind of beads and shit hanging from them.
Smelling like sandalwood.
Smelling like sandalwood. Talking about sandalwood. Deodorant is of the devil. You can't wear deodorant.
You can't block your odors.
You can't block your odors, you block your feelings.
And they were raised in Scientology, and that's how that is. It's like that. They speak like they all kind of speak like, no offense, but it's...
They speak like they think they're
weird.
Higher beings.
Yeah, it's...
But so, they don't make...
They're fucking
so,
aliens.
They were raised in that, so, like...
Here's my thing about school. Like, clearly, I mean, I won't be using algebra ever in my damn life. But I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Or ever writing... I'd be writing some weird things in cursive. But, I mean... The thing about me for school, because I hated school growing up, too. So if I was their age, of course I would understand that fact of it. But... School shows structure. It builds a mentality, a character. You have to meet kids that you don't like. You have to learn how to deal with it. It builds this idea of this social world that we grew up in. Now, to me, technology is what they're talking about. Technology has made people more depressed.
Lazy.
It's suppressed feelings. Like, lazy, exactly. So... I don't know what they do in climbing trees and shit. Like, I can't.
Well, they Scientologists, but I'm going to pray to Jesus for them. Lord God, have mercy on their souls. Them poor kids.
All right. Well, we have one positive thing happening. Faith Evans is... She's about to work on... She's about to release her new album, Incomparable. But the best part about this is she's actually going to be releasing an album called The King and I, and it's going to be a duet album with Biggie.
Her. Yeah. If anybody deserves to do that, it's her. That's going to be sick, because Biggie, he's definitely before his time. His music is still sounding dope.
Did she consult with the family? Did she get permission for the music?
Of course she's going to. She has his children.
No, this ain't no Aaliyah biopic. It's actually going to be very much in the vein of that Nat Cole CD that she did with her father.
Oh, the Nat King Cole, yeah. So, that's going to be dope.
Yeah.
His son looked just like him.
I'm excited.
Splitting image, just light skin.
We're going to get her in studio, too, so we're going to be able to get some more of that tea. Let's move on.
That's your virginity.
Mr. Scott.
You did?
It's good, man.
You
did. Used to walk holding my
hand. No, hold on. Let's let Queen get her.
Sorry.
Can we talk about Drew now?
Yes. What up, Drew?
You sound so nice.
I remember. No, I'm only kidding.
All right, Drew. So you are from the West Coast.
Yes, sir.
Let's just start there before we get into your music. Living here, out here on the West Coast, as an artist, singer, songwriter, the West Coast really, you know, it had its play in the 90s, you know, and then it kind of was
New York,
down south.
Right.
What was music like for you growing up? I mean, because you from coming up from like the Bay type area.
So, I mean, the music that's out right now is kind of what we were listening to like 11, 12 years ago. I think that DJ Mustard has just done a great job as far as putting it out there, you know, as far as mainstream goes. Now everybody kind of knows that sound, and people are kind of gravitating to that sound a little bit more now. But that's, I mean, you go back to like groups like Federation, Mac Dre, like, I mean, the list goes on and on. T-Nutty, the list goes on and on. E-40, all of them, like, that's the sound they were doing like 10, 11, 12 years ago. So it's dope to see it's like becoming a little bit more popular now than it was like back then.
Who are some of your influences growing up musically that have kind of molded
As far as production wise, I really got into production after I discovered Timberland and that whole movement with like Aaliyah and Magoo and Ginuwine and them. Like, that was the first time that I really like understood that there was an industry. You know, like,
you heard they're about to come out with something too, right? Yeah. Timberland, Ginuwine, and Missy.
Yeah, it's about to be crazy. Like, but as far as production, like Timberland, I mean, of course, Dre, because that's the West Coast. Just Blaze. Kanye, I mean, I it's funny because I started off as like a hip hop producer. I had like a production partner and we were kind of like the Neptunes back home, like producing for like E-40 and, Too Short.
But what made you want to get into production wise?
I've always been playing, I'm a musician, so I've been playing the piano since I was 5. And classically trained, and I played brass instruments and a little bit of guitar, and I played drums. So music's always been a part of me and my family. Like, my mom played the piano, my dad played the bass, like my brother played the sax, my sister played the
Steam Bears.
It was kind of like the Jackson 5, you know.
Awesome.
You see where my mind goes? Don't go to the Jackson. My life is a cartoon. Right. My life is a cartoon, so I think in cartoon.
Right.
I just picked them all up in their little treehouse. Like, come on, Drewski.
Right. But that, you know, that was, music's always been a part of my life, so just kind of made sense for me to get into this
industry.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you were up in Sacramento. What drew you down to L.A.?
I just knew that the opportunities back home, like, Sacramento is really, really small. And
garbage.
Watch it, man.
I mean,
it's very slow paced. It's a whole different side of California, and I tell people that, and they don't understand it until I take them up there. I'm like, it's really slow. It's really country. You got your, you know, like, people with dreads, gold grills, you know, old school caddies.
What?
Like, old school caddies. Like,
Atlanta. Like,
yeah, I mean, it, like, it is like
Dade
the South.
Dade County, Miami.
It's like the South.
The
crazy part is, like, there's still parts of it that are still segregated. Like, you know, blacks and whites, like, there's certain parts of Sacramento that you can't go in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's still, like, very backwards compared to L.A.
Wow.
So I just knew that what I wanted to do musically, there aren't a lot of opportunities out there. So L.A. was kind of like the closest city that made sense for me. You know, my family's still in Sacramento at the time. You know, I was like, so I could always go back home and visit them. But L.A. to me made a lot more sense.
How long have you been here?
I've been here for 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And within those 10 years, you work with Teyana Taylor, Fantasia, Jesus, Zendaya, Tori Kelly, Luke James, Bridget Kelly, Trinity.
Man.
I mean, Dawn Richards. I mean, we done gone down the list.
Man.
And you Grammy nominated within the 10 years. Like,
awesome.
That's my boy.
You've done this. So, I mean, with the people that you've worked with, actually looking at the people that you've worked with, they all have this sound, this kind of the smooth R&B kind of sound. Is that something?
With that. I feel like they're so different, the artists he worked with, to me. You know what I'm saying?
But they're all powerful voices.
Not all of them.
Fantasia is my favorite singer in the whole wide world. I choose her over Beyonce. I choose her over everybody.
Girl, don't talk about that.
Fantasia,
on the show.
Beehive, but
I don't know if you want to say that.
Behave. I love Fantasia. If I had the opportunity to have Fantasia, Beyonce, or Rihanna sing at my wedding, hands down, Fantasia, because she is a freaking performer. She's Aretha Franklin. Mm. Okay, sorry, moving on.
She's amazing. She's amazing. But Hive, I did not say that. Let's just be clear. Do not come for me, please.
That was my opinion.
All right, so within working with some of those people who were notably one of your favorites, in the essence of you learned a lot from them, or you had to do something different with your
You know, I will say that probably one of the artists that I learned a lot from, and I don't work with her anymore, is Dawn from Danny Kane and Dirty Money.
Really?
I
mean,
which you executive produced her album.
Yeah, and I will say, like, hands down, like, she is extremely talented and she knows what she wants and she has a clear vision of her sound, her artistry. And for me to see that, you know, first and foremost, like, this artist who kind of knows what she wants to do and allowed me the freedom to explore as far as production goes, like, for me, it allowed me to color outside of the lines and you know, be able to experiment a lot more with other artists that I want to be able to have that opportunity. So I think I definitely learned a lot from working with her in that experience.
And she helped you to grow into a better producer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both, like, you know, we were both pushing each other, like, the 2 years that we were working together, like, whether it was songwriting, whether it was, like, vocal arranging, whether it was, you know, videos, concepts, whether it was, you know, actual production, you know, we were both, like, pushing each other, like, and pushing the envelope. So I wouldn't take that experience back for nothing.
God bless you. I'm getting good energy from you.
That's good.
Thank you.
I'm getting good energy. I'm clairvoyant. I'm sorry. And I'm feeling things. And I'm trying my best to keep my mouth. Give him some pussy.
Wait, what?
I'm a big girl.
We whore Queen O on
our show. They be whoring me out. One day, one of these niggas is going to get some pussy and come back in here like, yo, I've never had my dick sucked like that before in my life.
I like them thick, though. So, hey.
I'm too much meat for you, boo. You can trust
me after the show.
First of all, I was going to get into your gospel album, but I think we'll pass on that track.
Trying to get hurt.
I'm sitting up here like, why don't you tell Miss Aretha Franklin how you talking about the Lord over here on Trinity's album, and then you up here talking about.
I see you after the show.
As a producer, you know.
I just want to talk to her.
Yeah, come on, let's talk.
Well, speaking of Fantasia, you're also nominated for Best Urban Alternative Album for Fantasia's Side Effects.
Yeah, that was
I thought that was going to be a bigger quote.
I wrote on a record Ain't All Bad on there with Harmony Samuels and Courtney Harrell. Such a great song.
I listen to her album all the time in my car. I love her.
Now you can be like, you met the songwriter.
Now I can say, like, yo, if I want to fuck the songwriter, I can.
Fuck him for a track.
God forgive me, Mom. I'm sorry, Mom. All right, you know my mouth. I'm sorry.
Your first EP was Places Jesse. I've Ever Been. Where did the name for that title come in? What was it you were trying to you wanted to get across to your fans?
With that, I was traveling a lot, like when I was creating that project, and just the different places that I was going. Like I was working with Don at the time, and we were touring a lot here, and we went to London, and just across the country, just different places, just meeting different people and different experiences. I kind of wanted to incorporate that into my music. And I felt like music is kind of like a destination, you know, it takes you places. Mm-hmm. And I wanted people to feel like, even if they've never been there, that the music that they're listening to takes them to that place. So that's where it came from.
Mm. And now you have a second volume coming out, Places I've Been, the second series.
Mm-hmm.
So where have you been from the first EP to the second EP in which you've grown?
I think for me, production, like, and just artistry wise and vocally, like, the last project, it was about a year ago that I put it out. And I really, like, when listening back to this, just noticing the growth as far as the songwriting goes, as far as the singing goes, as far as, like, the production goes, like, it's definitely, like, kind of, I'm proud of it. Like, I feel like this is kind of like my best body of work.
Awesome.
Well, let's take a listen. So the first song, Any Given Sunday, talk to us about this track.
So Any Given Sunday is a true story about a friend of mine that I know that he was dating this girl, and she ended up cheating on him with a football player. But I mean, it was kind of after.
Is he from LA? If so, that's just what happened. These bitches bounce around like basketballs out here.
But no, here's the flip part though. Like she was really good to him.
He's talking about Lil Fizz.
She was really good to him, and she was, you know, she was faithful, and he fucked around on her a couple of times, and it just kind of like one day. Because he's notable. I won't put him out there. Like he has.
Wait, is it legit? Lil Fizz?
No.
Oh, because it sounds like his story on Love and Hip Hop. I'm premeditated.
But you know, she was faithful, and he fucked around on her, and just one day she was kind of like,
"Fuck it."
All right, let's take a listen.
Listen to any? Are you singing?
Yeah.
Ooh, you can sing too. Shit.
puts on IG. She peeked on the side, let that shit slide, but it just be knowing when they niggas is tried. Every time that she's fucking your homie, every night, this is true story. A woman be tired, tell me I'm lying.
Any given Sunday, Drew Scott.
Any given Sunday.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's really dope.
And I like the fact that you can hear what he's saying. You can hear the words that he's enunciating.
Queen has a problem with singers who cannot enunciate.
Oh, me too.
Oh my God.
Like, oh, you gotta hate some of these. That bitch sound like she got marbles in her mouth.
She talked the way she sing too.
Yeah,
but back to Drew.
Yeah, good job, Drew. That's so, really good.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
one
you.
Thing you know is really interesting about this. So you took this from a friend's experience.
Yeah.
Why? What was it about the story specifically that really you know resonated with you as far as this story needs to be told?
Like, I think just kind of how the shit just went down, like. Just how she just kind of went from 0 to 100. Like, the moment that she stopped giving a fuck, like, she was not even, like, secretive about her shit anymore. It was, like, blatant, like, in your face. Like, I am here with this dude at this game. Like,
wow.
Niggas do it every fucking
day.
We do. Every fucking day.
We do.
Whoever that bitch is, yo, kudos to you,
son.
But bitches
don't pay the bills.
You know why? Yes, bitches do pay the bills.
If I'm taking care of you, I could cheat on you.
What? Sean, don't get kicked off the show. You are smitting, sitting there. Niggas do it every day. Dudes do it every day. Let me tell you something. At the end of the day, you got to understand women are the best cheaters. And when we don't give a fuck anymore, we don't.
Oh,
and by
don't.
Time we don't give a fuck, you caught feelings and you're deep caught up. And we're like, fuck you, I'm out. You played me all this time. Look, I'm getting personal up in this bitch. But at the end of the day, any given Sunday, fuck that. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, a bitch can cheat on you and you'll never fucking know. But she got tired and she put the nigga in the other dude's face like, I'm at this game, nigga. You sitting right here 2 feet away from me. Hi, boo.
Right. And her story. Right. Her story wrote a hit.
Right. And her story wrote a hit. You sound really good, Drew. I really
like it. Thank you.
You did that. I mean, now this whole player thing situation, we got this other song you got called Player Role. Tell us a little bit about Player Role.
So Player Role is kind of like the lead-off single from the project. And I just really wanted to, you know, pay home some respect, just the sound, you know, back home. Like, so it's very much so kind of like that sound that's out right now.
California,
like the California sound, like that young California, just, you know,
young California,
young in your car kind of thing. You know what I mean? So, let's play your role.
I played this track before and everyone out in the, it was jamming to
dope,
it.
So dope, man.
We got Play a Role, Drew Scott.
Those young girls for me, she don't even trip now. When other hopes be on me, damn, I love that bitch. She my little lover friend, homie. And pressure on me to say, go down. Yeah. She just wanna smoke, drink, and mess around. Yeah. She don't need me for nothing. She goes from low key to setting up. And VIP, she run things. Watch her, and you might learn something.
Like
Drew Scott, Play a Role.
Thanks. I can hear Usher singing this.
Thank you.
Contact Usher sweetly. He sell it to him.
You know.
No,
you
it's a Drew Scott song. What the hell?
I really like who you. I really like that you fucking with me today. Go ahead, Drew. Sorry, Jesse.
Well, here's a question for you. As a writer and a producer and an artist, How do you, you know, you work with all these different people. How do you kind of groom your sound without it leaking or taking, you know, being like, oh, this sounds like this kind of a track? Like, how do you make it sound like a Drew Scott?
I think that what I listen to personally, you know, dealing with a lot of these artists, like, or working with a lot of these artists, like, the shit that I listen to is totally different than, like, a lot of, like, the music that I ended up producing or writing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like those vibes. Like, there's an artist named Washed Out. He's more like a chill wave kind of artist. There's another one called Toro Imoi. And, he's like this Japanese black artist. He's from San Francisco, but he's more like this indie, like chill, like vibey kind of sound. So when I, those are kind of like more of the influences, like Banks and Broods and, you know, more of that kind of sound. Those artists influenced a lot of this project more so than the urban side. But I think working with urban artists and me, you know, being black, you know, there's still that urban side too, but there's still pop sensibilities in it also.
Mm. I like him.
Thank you.
I like the fact that he's articulate. He can talk. He's cool. And he sings good. See, some people will be on here, and I'll tell these motherfuckers that they sound good. But
you
just trying to be cordial. We're not gonna go into her because she's not just in this subject. But that shit was horrible. But Drew Scott, I give you a thumbs up.
Thank you.
You sound really good, and I am definitely going to be looking into your music.
Thank you.
Good job, bro.
Thank you.
So this is off the new project, which is available.
The project is available now. It's out today. So it's available on DatPiff, all the mixtape websites. It's for free. You know, I have one more of this series that I'm going to do. Before,
places I've been.
I got one more, and on the next one it's all features on this one. So
when are we getting
that one? I'm gonna have that one out in the spring. I'm not gonna wait that long for that one. We're like recording that one as we speak.
So. And are you dropping music videos for these tracks?
We're gonna go full fledged with this. There's gonna be music videos. There's gonna be live performances. BT's asked me to be a Music Matters artist, so I'm doing the Music Matters series.
I wanna come see you at Music Matters.
Yeah. So when I get the dates going, I'll let you guys know, because you guys definitely should come and check it out.
For sure.
I've been there before.
Well, let's keep it pushing. We got this right here, y'all.
I don't know
if y'all are ready for this.
Okay, let's give it to me. So I like the title.
Jesse Jackson's daughter.
What?
Jesse Jackson Jr.'s daughter. AJ, she has a song out called Just Do Me. It's positive hip-hop, y'all.
Jesse Jackson, the preacher.
We're just gonna watch it.
That walk with Dr. Luther.
Martin Luther King.
No, his junior.
Jesse Jackson Jr.
Okay.
Prison. Jesse Jackson Jr. Mm.
So let's take a look. This is AJ. Just Do Me.
She look like she about to twerk.
The world hurting themselves, is that the message? My generation's going crazy, and people say we're just too free. I agree. We blame society, but we are society. I mean, I like to party, but that don't mean we'll go to any extremes or just do me. With the silence, stop the violence. We could do so much more.
All right, so this is apparently his secret daughter that she wants to voice her opinion and come out with music and show that, you know, this is something that she wants to do with herself, and she thinks now's the time to promote this music.
To just do me.
Yeah, just do her. What you thinking, Queen?
Why do you always call me?
You can make positive music without being corny, like Kendrick Lamar, That's not corny.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's a dope song, and it's dope. That was just corny. That's like a little kid jingle.
That shit was horrible.
She should have played Aaliyah, though.
She's a pretty girl. She needs to sit at home.
What's so funny is I really thought that when I first watched it. I was like, they just dub her vocals over.
Right.
She's a cute girl, but maybe she should try acting.
So actually, this is actually Reverend Jesse Jackson's daughter.
Granddaughter.
No.
Reverend Jesse Jackson's
73-year-old.
So this is his love child.
His secret child. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, wow.
So, see, that's what happened. These kids just be getting money.
The penis never stopped working.
What to do, girl. It's sure the fuck no.
Damn.
18 years ago, was that 60-something? All right. Tory Lanez. Have you guys heard of this guy?
Yeah, I heard of him.
But before we put anything up, what you think of him?
I'll let everybody make a decision. All right.
So I was watching this the other day and I was just laughing because I'd be thinking of what things I can put on so that Queen just gets shocked. And this is just that movement that's going on right now. We just look at it and then we'll talk about it. So the song's called The Mission. I'm not fully mad at it.
Fully?
It's just...
Someone tell that bitch, take the shoes off at the door. When she walk all on my marble floor, I stun like I'm supposed. Black dress, hanging off my niggas out the door. Walking shot my Gripsy dough, so thick she can't even fall. Tell me why your bitch keep patrolling like she 5-0. Say that she my bitch, but that bitch ain't even sour.
All right, Tory Lanez, The Mission. Like I said, I liked it. I think the video was really dope. Yeah. The colors and the concept of it are cool. I mean, the problem that I just have with it is, like, I keep going back to that Snoop interview of Snoop just being like, every song just be like this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like we're creating watered-down, mediocre artists by saying, like, okay, Young Thug, that song was dope. So now everyone's going to come out with a Young Thug type voice. Right. Or are we all going to be able to... But, I mean, I guess that's just hip-hop, because when Gucci Mane came out, everyone was rapping like Gucci Mane. You know what I mean? Whatever the new trend of...
It's like Future, Party Next Door. Yeah. Like, they all sound the same. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's, like, the thing now.
But, I mean, for me, when he said, that 5-0, I was like, all right, I like the song.
I like it. He looks like the guy... Who's the guy who's always rapping about sex? The short guy. Baby! Bust it, baby.
Plies.
He looked like Plies. But I like. I think the song is kind of cool.
He did not throw a Plies reference.
He looked like Plies.
2014. Yeah.
I think we're going to probably see him next year.
You said that about everybody.
I say that about everybody? Fuck! You're lying.
We're not going to see him next year.
Drew, what you think about it?
I fucks with it.
Yeah, I seen it, but yeah, it was bobbing. He was feeling it.
I think we're going to see him next year. They invested in that video. People are invested in that boy. Mm-hmm. We're going to see him next year. Mm-hmm. I promise you that.
Well, so the final person that I hope we see next year, I've been supporting him, is Kevin Gates. The song's called Out the Mud. It's a World Star Hip Hop video exclusive. Let's take a look. Kevin Gates, Out the Mud, what y'all thinking?
Dope.
I like it, Queen. Clearly you don't, so what you want to say about it?
I think he need a haircut, number one. Number two, and pull his pants up.
Tell him that when
but
he come
number
up
two, bring him up. I'm not as fucking scared.
Why would you ever think she wouldn't tell him that?
I would, but get it out the... I don't know. But you know why I did?
Because he's talking about where he's from.
I know, but like he's what from St. Louis or New Orleans or some shit like that? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to keep 100 with you. Watching this video and just being on this show... There's so many independents. It's crazy how we're able to do this shit without record companies.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking like, His video, and like everybody's videos are looking good. Like everybody's learning how to use the cameras. Yo, I mean, I commend good for him for doing his own video or whatever. But I'm getting out the mud. I'm gonna need more than that.
Well, you gotta check the track Fiendin' he does with Lyrica Anderson.
Play it next week.
Well, we've been played it months ago.
Oh, girl, wow.
But I'm gonna give it to you and for tonight, and you're gonna be in your bed like, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
No.
I promise. Queen gonna lose her panties tonight, y'all.
Not if I'm listening to Drew Scott.
She gonna be like, Drew, what you doing this Sunday?
I'll be like, Zim Zaddy. That's how you're zooming in on the radio.
So, Drew Scott, Places I've Been.
Places I've Ever Been.
Have Ever Been. Available on DatPiff right now.
Yes, sir.
You have a website?
I do. It's up in it. I mean, it's coming. It's www.whoisdrewscott.com.
Twitter? Instagram?
Drew Scotty, DrewScotty. And Twitter, Instagram is Drewskiville, DrewSkiville.
Sweet. And you guys can make sure you guys hit us up at BHL Online on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Tweet me at DJ Jesse J.
Queen Wink, Instagram, you already know.
Sean Allen, _ Instagram and Twitter.
Also, make sure you guys check us out on Instagram at The Beat TV. Till next week, say, oh no, never mind. Have a happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
And peace. Eat lots of turkey. Peace.
Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.